It's good to have come through the weekend to this appointed time in the Word of God. Thank you for being here with me today. We just have this week and then next week come to the time in our calendars when we give extra attention to the Last Supper, arrest, trials, crucifixion, and death of Jesus. And then we'll come to Resurrection Sunday, on which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after is Resurrection Sunday, and we who love the Lord intend to celebrate. To be certain, it is not that we only remember what Christ has done for us next week. Not at all. Every single day, we are cognizant of the dominating love of Jesus in our lives. But to exalt him and worship together as a community of believers next week is always special to the Christian community. We're finding our way in this dark and sin-filled world, which has little regard for our Savior. In a world with no hope, we have a blessed and cherished hope, and this is why we worship the Christ. When Jesus commanded the Lord's Supper, or you may call it communion, he said this, "Do this in remembrance of me." He wants us to remember him, and throughout our days we do just that. And on Friday we remembered together another step forward in Jesus' walk to the cross, that is his 6 unjust and illegal trials. 6. You heard me correctly. I read each one of them from the Bible on Friday, and what I'd like to do today is to tell you why they were all unjust and illegal. Then on Wednesday, we will look at certain details within the trials that reveal just how humiliating this all was for Jesus Christ, as I emphasize his humiliation in these days together. So let me start by telling you about the total injustice that was done to him. And this can be done simply. Every trial Jesus endured was unjust. That is U-N, unjust. Unjust, not just. Jesus was the one perfect human being, and so every accusation made against him is untrue and therefore unjust. Let's take the following as our definition of the word, just in the context of the law. We're talking about the trials of Jesus, so these are legal matters. In this context, just can be defined as what is merited, what is deserved. And so let us ask, does Jesus deserve to be punished? Does he deserve death? Answer to both, no, absolutely not. And why not? Jesus does not deserve punishment by death because Jesus has done nothing wrong. He has never done anything to merit to deserve punishment. Never, ever. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. That's easily remembered, 2:22. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. 1 Peter 2:22. And when you see that in your Bible, you'll find it in all caps, all capital letters, because this is a quote from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. The prophets correctly foretold the perfection of Jesus. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, John writes, "In him there is no sin." In Jesus, there is no sin. That's right. Jesus is sinless. He is perfect. That's 1 John 3, verse 5. Even Pilate, at one of Jesus' trials before him, says of Jesus, "I find no guilt in him." That's John chapter 19, verse 4. Pilate, the Roman governor, spoke the truth here. "I find no guilt in Jesus." So, since Jesus is perfect, since Jesus has no sin, and therefore does not merit punishment, it is extraordinarily unjust, not just. It is an injustice to try him. There is no way Jesus should have had one trial, let alone 6. Christ's trials are the most serious injustice ever committed. There's a lot of injustice in the world in which we live today. There's no doubt about that. But all of that pales in comparison to what happened to Jesus Christ. The one perfect life, Jesus, ended because of this historic injustice. All of the trials of Christ were unjust. Please do not ever forget it. You must know this about Jesus. He died unjustly. Furthermore, you must feel this in your soul, in the depth of your emotion, where your affections lie. Why? Because of what else the Apostle Peter wrote. Hear now God's word to us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This is profound truth. 1 Peter 3:18, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." What a scripture! If you miss everything else I say, get this. Peter, who witnessed Christ's unjust trials, writes this: Jesus is the just, but he is put to death by the unjust. This is the world's greatest irony ever. Christ died for the sins of the unjust. That's us, even though he himself was just. That's Jesus. 1 Peter 3:18. As unjust people, we deserve death, but if you have faith in Christ, then he is your substitute. He takes your place on the cross. He brings you to God. I love that in 1 Peter 3:18. Christ brings us to God. In fact, the Bible teaches that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Now, how does that make you feel? It's got to move you, right? Do not get so busy with the daily demands of life down here on planet Earth such that you begin to take for granted what Jesus has done for you, brother and sister in Christ. He faces the injustice of 6 trials. All of us who are actually, truthfully, the unjust ones ought to have faced. This is truly remarkable. No words adequately capture our gratefulness. And we look forward with anticipation to seeing Christ so that we can, for all eternity, express our praise and thanks directly to him. But until that moment, right here and now, we exalt him. The truth, I trust, is clear to you. The trials, all the trials of Jesus, are unjust, and they are also illegal. And as simple as it was for me to explain to you why the trials were all unjust, it now becomes complex to describe to you within our time frame why the trials are all illegal. The reason this is complex is because a lengthy explanation of Jewish law should be understood before concluding just how incredibly illegal Jesus' trials were. So, guided by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, what I'm going to have to do is to demonstrate the illegalities as best I can in as direct a manner as I can. But before I do that, I want you to be aware that Jewish legal proceedings were designed from the beginning to be extremely fair and impartial. The Jews had an earnest commitment to justice. Their entire judicial system was built upon it until it came to Christ. Then they violated it every step of the way in many different ways. Now, God, of course, is committed to justice. And so listen to what he commanded the ancient Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm reading now from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. If you're following along in your text, this is Deuteronomy 16, verses 18 through 20. "You shall appoint for yourself judges and officers in all your towns which the Lord your God is giving you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not distort justice, you shall not be partial, and you shall not take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall pursue, that you may live and possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you." This is the word of the Lord, and notice the emphasis: judge with righteous judgment, not distort justice, and be partial. Do not take a bribe. And in verse 20, justice and only justice. God could not be clearer. And as the judicial system was constructed, it became the most just system in the world. In fact, justice systems the world over are modeled on it, including that which we have in the United States. So now we know what God thinks, but let's see in the Bible some examples of how the Jewish religious leaders violated their own law when they tried the Christ. I will summarize the violations now and then show you some of them in Matthew 26 tomorrow. And let me quote from Dr. John MacArthur's commentary on Matthew now. He's done meticulous research on this, as meticulous as he always is. Quote, "It is obvious that, when properly administered, the Jewish system of justice was not only eminently fair, but merciful. It is just as obvious that the system did not operate either fairly or mercifully in Jesus' trial, because the Sanhedrin violated virtually every principle of its own system of jurisprudence." This is John MacArthur on the illegalities in Jesus' trials, and he continues now with some specifics. Jesus was illegally tried without first having been charged with a crime. He was tried at night and in private. No defense was permitted him, and the witnesses against him had been bribed to falsify their testimony. He was executed on the same day he was sentenced, and consequently, the judges could not have fasted on the intervening day that should have transpired, and had no opportunity, therefore, to consider their verdict. Unquote. That's very well stated, and when we meet again tomorrow, Lord willing, I'll take us into the text of Matthew 26 and show you how illegal the trials of Jesus were. So please plan to be with me tomorrow for that. We're just going to continue on in the text as we continue to see how illegal the trials of Jesus all were. And isn't this amazing? Many people, both then and now, are prepared to be fair, except when it comes to Jesus Christ. In our own postmodern society, everyone and everything is supposed to be tolerated and given fairness, except Jesus Christ. Nothing, in a sense, has changed since Christ's first coming. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow, and then say more about the humiliation of our Lord in this quote-unquote court. So I hope that you will come along and plan to be with me tomorrow, as always, for God is...